Miami at 8 o'clock service. Matt and Nicole Stout, United Lutheran Church, have their baby Miranda Nicole Stout baptized, and both sets of grandparents were here to stand with them. And so we rejoice with them, and we want to announce that too. There is a copy of the baptismal service, which is different than one. I let the parents choose. It's different than the one we had last week, but it's back at the door to your left as you go out.
Okay. Any others? Any other prayer requests? If not, let us pause at this time for a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for the worshiping of God.
Have no mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. asking you, Lord, that we have a living God, a living Savior to worship. And that you're not far off, that you cannot hear us or we cannot reach out to you and touch you. Lord, we thank you that you abide within us. And Lord, we just rejoice in that and just praise your name. Glory be unto you, O Lord. Thank you for being a close, caring, helpful, encouraging, guiding, motivating. And Father, there's so many words that we might say that we fall short, even if we knew the whole dictionary of descriptive terms. Because you are so great, Lord, words cannot express it. But thank you for calling us to use our meager efforts to offer praise and adoration to you. Lord, we know that you're great and wonderful. We worship you and we praise you. Lord, we pray that in this hour that we would know your presence without fail through the singing, the praying, the reading of your scripture, and the eating from your table. Lord, bless every aspect of our time together today. We offer our prayer and ourselves in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we express our faith unto God through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our sins, the call to confession today is taken from Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose faith is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our heart. Cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and
finding in you our refuge and strength through Jesus Christ, your Son.
Amen. And God always gives us that assurance of forgiveness, taken from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Turn your hymnals, if you will, now, please, to hymn 422. We're going to sing 1 and 5, 422, verses 1 and 5.
America,
story that I heard at my great aunt's funeral the other day. She had it was a beautiful service, and it was very special to all of us to get to hear about how beloved she was in her church. She had served there for 60 years. But one of the preachers, when he got up, there were three different preachers who spoke, and one was her grandson. But one of the preachers got up and said, I know they've got to be singing a lot of wonderful music today, and I'm probably not remembering exactly right, but then the preacher said that something about contemporary Christian and all different kinds of music. And then he said, but I know that what the song that you've just heard is an example of the kind of music that Jesus would sing. And so that's what we're going to sing today. Hallelujah, by and by. Jesus is
of a home far beyond the sky.
Oh, they tell me of a home far away.
Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise.
Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh,
remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad. There's a silver lining behind every cloud. Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of black land dirt. We'd get together in a family circle, singing loud. At the same place,
me and little brother were going right in there. Singing,
singing, help
my troubles
go. One of these days, that it won't be long, I'm gonna join them in a song. We'll get together in a family circle, singing loud.
No, the circle won't be broken.
Oh,
definitely Jesus music.
Great job,
Clark.
Good job.
Our offertory sentence this morning, taken from Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings at this time.
Okay.
Curtis Eckert attended General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as one of two delegates representing Columbia Presbytery, and he's going to come this morning and share a few thoughts concerning his experience and maybe something about the workings of the church.
Travis?
Rosemary McGrill.
Okay. Rosemary McGrill. And whenever
whatever they felt suited for most was what they would do, but they seemed to just kind of this one, then the next day, or the next part. And then that was it for that day. I'd have to look back, but there might have been worship that day. I'm not certain. I didn't type that, but there might not have been, but there probably was. And on Tuesday, our committees met, which was just, and I was on theology and social concerns, and James was on missions. And my committee actually did not do much. It was very, not quite the same size, but it did not have much things to do as far as what missions did. He had much more to do. He stayed in much longer. If my meetings lasted 30 minutes, it lasted 2 hours. So, and but it's still important. It's just a time where it didn't have much to do. And later on that night, there was worship. It was kind of a free day until that time. It was worship. And no general summer business that night. That was the only night besides Sunday that didn't have any. And the preacher that night was, his name was, forgive me if I say this wrong, but Ramon Garcia. And he was representing the Hispanic part of the presbytery. And I think he was from Parksville. Okay. Didn't say that, so I just guessed. But and he was very energetic, and it was a different side of it. And he had a translator. And very energetic, very different than what anything I've had here or anywhere else. And kind of like preaching at you in a sense. That was that day, and on Wednesday, our committees met in the morning again, and it was a free day after the meeting, whenever service ended, that was it, until worship that day, and that was Reverend Deanne Thompson, and she talked about us being a Reformed denomination and allowing like women preachers very early on. America, or just in any denomination, Christian denomination, allowing to preach and things like that. There was general summer business. Went on that day. Still very confusing. It was not very confusing until about the last day, which was Thursday. But the next morning, there was a devotional by a boy when I'm my age, I think he was 13, but he was 16 like myself, and his name was Timothy Young, and in front of the General Assembly, he did the devotional, and he was on my committee, and he was from Del Cristo Presbytery, and that's in San Francisco, California, and there were presentations from the American Bible Society that day, and then there was General Assembly business falling right after that. And we had a break for lunch, and then had more general from the business. And after the business, we came back from dinner, and we had more general from the business. That was a filled day, but it made sense. And that day, they wanted our opinion that day, sort of. And those other days, I really didn't feel involved at all. But they asked us as an advisory vote for the majority of things. And most of it was given, but some of the stuff not everyone agreed on, but majority rules. And it just made more sense that day if I did not already say that. And all the recommendations, or most of them, just seemed to be wording problems. And everyone was trying to fix grammatical errors. And we had to attendance was not like this is just super definite. Like, why can't you just use spell check? But or get a similar feature, I don't know what you do. But and there were always those people that always seem to speak up and go to the mic. But and now that I'm saying this, there was one youth advisor delegate that went up, and I think it was one time. Maybe there were a few other incidents, but there were not many times that anyone stood up, so we couldn't stand up at any time. But there was a rule after, I think on Tuesday, that you're allowed to stand up per issue, allowed to stand up for 10 minutes and 2 questions per person. That was not really abided by, so it took longer. But we got through it on Thursday, so we rushed. We had to get out at 10 p.m. We were in there until 10 morning. We had to work up here, but left Friday morning from the hotel. And, of course, alright, we're in the rental car. But we get to Memphis, we drop it off, we get the van back, get 10 miles down the road, go off at the point that the car is missing up again. The train commission failed again. We cannot go backwards. We can barely go forward. Of course, there was a little traffic stop on the left again. We had to go hard to get through as well. But they didn't fix it. So we got a tow truck again. It's probably another $150. And took it back to the shop. They put it back. We got another rental. Actually, we got picked up from a fireworks stand. But, and then we got the rental. But that would end up for Jimmy Upshaw, Mrs. James' dad, to have over $2,500 in car payments and tow truck payments. And like, I don't know, the T-Tuck for highway patrol. But that's probably about $3,000 a week. And then we get back home, and that's it.
Good job, good job. He was an honorable representative. And those that were alternate this year have been selected. Two of them have been selected to expand next year. So, First Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning with verse 23. The Apostle Paul is writing concerning the Lord's Supper. He says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. So he had already instructed the Corinthians in this. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I invite the active elders who are present this morning to come forward and assist at the table. Inactive elders, if Pete will come and someone here, Mr. Sharpton, if you'll assist. Jerry, if you'll come and assist. Two more. One, two, three, four. Two more. Jamie, if you'll come and assist. We have most of the elders at the 8 o'clock service this morning, are the active elders. And then we need one more. Melanie needs to play. Charles. Oh, Diane. Okay, that's okay. Diane will come. Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking. The table. the Lord's table. And if you are a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and trusting Him for your salvation, we invite you to join us as we eat and drink from this table, remembering the great sacrifice that He made for us. The great sacrifice that He made for us. The sacrifice of His life, that we might be forgiven our sins and clear of sin, be able to meet God face to face when we get to heaven. Bread and drink. Fruit of the vine and the product of wheat. Lord God, You give us bread to eat each day, but You give us this bread. And Jesus, set the example for us. This bread to remember Your sacrifice for us. Your love for us. That You would go to such great lengths to redeem us from sin, that we might be forgiven. Lord, we know that this represents Your body. And in Your body, You took up on Yourself our sin. And Lord, we come this morning with thanksgiving and praise to You for just being a forgiving, loving Savior that invites us, urges us, even pleads with us to come and accept that we might be Your children, be a part of Your eternal kingdom. Bless this prayer in Jesus' name. Remember His death that was for you. Lord God, we thank You for the fruit of the vine, refreshment, nourishment for our bodies. But we thank You for this fruit of the vine, for this special cause of remembering Your shed blood. Lord, the Scriptures tell us, Your Word tells us, that Your blood was shed for the remission of sin. Thank You, Lord, that You were willing for it to be poured out, that You were willing to shed it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
scripture lesson today is taken from a very familiar scripture in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 35, the story of Paul and Silas. Listen closely. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole family. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Song that the choir sang, they called it Jesus' type of music, or the kind of song that he would sing, and that may be so. I think he would enjoy it, and we did, and we hope, we believe that we brought honor and glory to him through that song. Just believe that we did. How are we going to get to that home? How are we going to get to that home? Well, the other way of putting it is, what is man's role in his salvation? What can you do? What can you do to get to salvation? What is your role in your salvation? We've talked about in the past few weeks, skipping last Sunday, we've talked about that we don't get there by our own efforts or by our works or by our goodness. But what is our role? I hope in this sermon to show what our role in our salvation is. What our role in our salvation is. And I hope that I can do that in the next few minutes. Very quickly. It's an age-old question. Four times it's recorded in the Gospels that someone asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know that eternal life with God, where we can live forever, and we know that to be eternal life or heaven. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Mark 10, verse 17 is one place. The second place, that was the rich young ruler that I preached on and preached on and preached on, that came and asked Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? Another place that we find that question being asked is in Luke 10:25. That was a teacher of the law who came to Jesus to try to trick him up. When somebody comes into the world and trying to do good, somebody will come and try to mess up the good that you're trying to do. Jesus was bringing a a breath of fresh air or a refreshing spirit to the world in which he lived, which was spread out through all the world. The people in charge of the church at that time in Jerusalem, well, they had people believing that they had to obey so many laws, make so many gifts to the synagogue and the temple, etc., 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 that they could have people believing that they could earn their way into heaven, either by doing something good or refraining from doing things that were wrong. And Jesus came to teach that we're saved by grace through faith. Even that not of ourselves, that faith is a gift of God, so that no one can boast. Now he came teaching that if we believed in him, the Son of God, that we would not perish, but would receive eternal life. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, people came asking, how may I inherit, or how am I gain eternal life? And in Luke 10:25, it happens to be a teacher of the law who came just to trick Jesus. And then in Luke 18:18, there we have Luke's account of the rich young ruler. And also, I didn't put it on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, Matthew's account of the rich young ruler. So, excuse me, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, excuse me, all three record that this rich young man came to Jesus to ask about eternal life. Also, this teacher of the law came. The Philippian jailer put it a little different, but that's what we read for our scripture. What must I do to be saved? How can I be forgiven my sin or saved from my sin? Now, he may have had a concern that he would save his life, because if he lost any prisoners, he was responsible for them. And he may have to pay the penalty that they would have had to pay if they had have gone to trial, or if they had already gone to trial and been sentenced. He may have to stand in for them. That's a terrible society to live in, or a terrible group of laws, we think, do we not? But that's the way it was. So in Acts 16, the jailer didn't say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what must I do to be saved? Basically, the same question. Another classic example of one who believed for his salvation is Zacchaeus. And I just thought this was a good illustration, the experience of Zacchaeus. He didn't even come to Jesus asking about eternal life or salvation. He came just to see Jesus. He had heard about him, and Jesus was coming to his town. The crowd gathered. He was a man with small stature. Evidently, he got there late and couldn't get a front row on the street. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, and he was looking to see Jesus, and Jesus looked and saw him, and saw something in him that told Jesus that he was ready to experience salvation. So Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus took him and fed him, and he became a disciple of Jesus. You can find that in the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses of Luke. I'd like for you to quickly just consider the jailer's experience. The jailer evidently was asleep. But the jailer woke up, and he saw the prison doors open because the earthquake had come. Paul and Silas had been singing and praying. They'd been praising God. The jailer was about to kill himself, but they said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. He called for lights, rushed in, trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. They explained a little bit to him, preached a little bit to him, and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them. He had a conversion experience, did he? He changed. He was their keeper. He was their jailer at one time. Now he became one who would help them. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Immediately, he and all his family were baptized. He said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to be marked. I want to be set apart. Then the jailer brought them into his own house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Look at the first word in this slide. Repent. Acts 3:19. Peter is preaching. Peter is preaching to take advantage of preaching to some onlookers. And they have healed a man. He and John had gone to the temple and were dealing with this man. And then there's some onlookers there, and he is preaching, and he tells them to repent. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, we find that the need to get the salvation is repentance and faith. Paul had been to Ephesus, and he was about to leave. And he said to them, now I've been teaching you folks that salvation comes through repentance and faith. Do you know what repent means? It means turn. The jailer turned from being their jailer to being to the one who soothed their wounds. Paul and Silas had been beaten the night before. He turned. Paul, to the Ephesians, or to those people in the third chapter of Acts, many of them, we can assume, I think, rightly so, that they had been trusting in their own efforts, their keeping of the law, or their going through the ritual, their offering of proper sacrifices to God for their salvation. And Peter says to them, repent, and then repentance and faith, Paul says to the Ephesians, these were Paul's words to the Christians at Ephesus. In Acts 16:31, from our scripture lesson, they told the Philippian jailer, believe on Jesus. Believe on Jesus. And these were Paul and Silas's. Silas was there with him, but we think Paul must have said it. Believe on Jesus for your salvation. And it's kind of out of line, but John 1:12, these are John's words about Jesus. And he said that those who receive Jesus, those who receive Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Romans 10, 9 and 10, I call these classic words, just beautiful words to me, about confessing and believing. Paul talks to the Romans, or writes to the Romans, about confess your sin and confess Jesus. Confess Jesus as Lord. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Romans 10:13, he spoke of calling upon the name of the Lord. Invitation. The invitation is to claim the salvation that Jesus offers. And we claim it by believing. Claim eternal life that Jesus offers. We claim it by believing. Believing in Jesus. Another word for believing is trusting. Trusting in Jesus. Trusting Him and His death on the cross to be payment for our sins. Trusting His life anew. That resurrected life is to be the first fruits of all who sleep in Him, or who die trusting in Him. And that because He lives,